B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know, I went a year without touching myself.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Go, Red Sox.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son.
I got 69 touchdowns.
You know what I mean, baby.
37 for the Patriots from the Pittsburgh 36. Tom throws down the left seam for Gronkowski. Catches stride past the 5. Into the end zone. He takes a Steelers defender on the way to a touchdown, Patriots.
I got 69 touchdowns. You know what I mean, baby. 69 touchdowns. You know what I mean.
Yo soy fiesta.
I got 69 touchdowns. You know what I mean, baby.
Play fake by Brady. Throw down the middle. Gronk is open to the 15. Angling left to the 10. He runs to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
You can only hold him down for so long.
Thanks for feeding these muscles.
Tom takes the step. Back pedals. Looks like firing for Gronkowski. Low throw at the goal line. He caught it. Touchdown, Patriots. Touchdown, Patriots.
I got 69 touchdowns. You know what I mean, baby. 69 touchdowns, if you know what I mean.
Yo soy fiesta.
I got 69 touchdowns. You know what I mean, baby. 69.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
Nine 5 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. 6:03 in the Town Fair Tire Studios. Adam Jones in this morning, and I'm into watching some weird stuff. I've been told that some of my choices in films that I view, including the movie Mandy, where Nicolas Cage becomes a meth-taking hippie killer. That's a little strange. I've been told that my taste in music is pretty ridiculous. I watched part of that WWE Raw last night looking for Rob Gronkowski. I can't understand how you can watch that every single week. Like, I really don't. Like, I and I'm not knocking fans of wrestling. And matter of fact, there are aspects of it that I really like. Every once in a while, there's a character that comes out that makes me laugh, who I think is wildly entertaining. Even back in the day, you know, when it was WCW and WWF. Like, I mean, I enjoyed even that part of it. But to the gratuitously long tough guys staring at each other in a ring and just staring each other down nose to nose, and it going on for like 45 seconds before anyone picks up a mic and says something else, and then they stand there again for 45 seconds and just smolder and stare at each other. It's one thing when you're watching it on TV and you've got the guys doing commentary about how just tough these guys are and how much they really hate each other, but to be at an arena and just sit there and watch these guys and it be like,
like Gronk moaning in Dale Arnold's face.
Right. Yeah. It makes me feel like, what is happening? Like, this whole conversation could have been done in 2.5 minutes, yet you've dragged it out for 15 to 20 minutes.
You got 3 hours to fill, Rich.
I understand that.
There's got to be some staring.
But the same way they should have never made The Hobbit into 3 movies when it was a 90-page book or whatever. Wrestling should not be 3 hours long. You could take that entire show, get every fight, get every point across within an hour, and you could condense it down. And when the action starts, it's great. Like, I mean, there was a guy last night by the name of Ricochet, who I'd never heard of before. That dude was awesome. Like, his final move was like a 2.5 off the ropes, and he ended up landing on the guy and knocking the dude out in quotes.
Yeah.
But that was awesome. Like, that was a great move. Like, I remember the luchadores back in the day, you know, he used to do all the crazy flips of it. Like, that was amazing to me. That was a lot of fun. But, dude, that just, the long extended staring and look, I'm a mean guy. And it takes him 45 minutes to get down from when they announce the guy to finally get to the ring. It's like, what are we doing here? And it's just everything's so drawn out. How you can sit and watch that for 3 hours is astounding to me. Once again, my taste in entertainment is highly questionable. So I'm not knocking the people who do it normally. But I just sat there and I'm like, I don't know how I personally would be able to stand that and not go crazy. And not just feel like, people talk about how the NFL games go too long because too many flags are thrown. That is, wrestling is essentially one giant flag being thrown.
Well, and
like, get to the action. Why are we waiting so long?
The investment in wrestling can be pretty high too, right? Isn't there a Friday night event too? Like, it's like Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there like some Friday show too? And then if there's like a Sunday pay-per-view, it's like, how many? That's a lot of time to invest in a sport. We talk about that all the time with baseball. What's the investment level? Football, if you really want to watch the whole league now that there's so many windows. Thursday night football, early London games.
Sure.
Like Monday night football. Like if you want to watch the whole league, it's ended up taking up a lot of your time. Yeah, I think wrestling can be a pretty good size investment. Never mind just the Monday night 3 hours of staring.
Right, to keep up with the storylines. Right. I mean, it does not need to be. Okay, Bird, a wrestling expert, Bird. Did you first of all? Did you go last night to Raw?
Yes, I did.
Oh, were you hanging out with the Calvin crew?
I was in Joe Murray's suite.
Which is the Calvin crew,
Murray's,
right?
No. Joe Murray had his own separate one.
Murray's suite.
Wait a minute.
Hang on. I thought that Joe Murray was part of the Kowloon crew.
Oh, do we have a splintering?
Oh, that's not good.
I just think he wanted his own.
Oh.
How does Joe Murray afford his own suite?
Oh, come on. Dude's been hitting it big. He's a bankroll boy. I know I'd go
from right okay.
to return. Joe Murray just making it rain in his own suite?
No, I know how much those suites go for. I'm amazed.
Did Andy Wong and Sarge and the rest of the crew, are they a little upset that...
I have no idea. Probably. I don't think so.
Okay.
Sarge came up.
Oh, Sarge did come
up. Well, then your night was made.
Now
Sarge playing both sides.
According to Scott Zolak, Sarge had a get-rich scheme going at the match yesterday. He had some deal where I don't know how they advertised it. I guess they tweeted it, although I follow both of them on Twitter. I don't know that he and Jimmy Stewart were going to tweet out that if you wanted Sarge to come down to your seat and take a picture with you, you Venmo them $20 and they would do it.
Oh my!
Were they doing that yesterday?
Yes.
Oh my God! Hang on. Did they get anybody to take them up on it?
Sarge said he got a bunch of girls to do it with him. He said he made $200.
Oh, there's no way.
No.
There's
all right.
No way.
Somebody bucks. Listening, if you, it, there must be someone out there
Nick,
who saw this happen.
Okay, Nick, were they, get in here if you don't mind. All right, because Nick went last night and he was, you know, I think he spent a little time with the Kowloon crew. So how, okay.
Ask him. Something went down.
They didn't allow you in?
In Jimmy's, in Andy Wong's? No, yeah. No, I got shunned.
Wow.
I can tell you more.
What?
Oh, my Lord.
They didn't let you in?
I was so mad last night.
Was it for fraternizing with the people in Joe Murray's?
No. I told someone that I was going to be coming down there to visit, and went there, was at the door texting this person, and...
Who?
I was texting Sarge.
Okay.
And Jimmy Stewart comes out and he sees them waiting right by the door. He's like, oh, hey, Nick, closes the door and walks away. And you can't, the door's locked behind you. So clearly he knew I was trying to get in. And I just stood there while he just walked away.
And they wouldn't let you in?
They wouldn't let me in.
Oh, see, that's Andy would have let you in. Andy Wong's like a good guy.
Yeah.
Like, he'd let you in. So but this was purely a Jimmy and Sarge thing.
What the hell is going on?
I have no idea.
Oh.
I was so mad. I was like, really?
So,
really?
So just, did you wait by the door? And like, did you text Sarge? Did you call Sarge?
I text Sarge and he didn't respond to me. I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you. I went back to the booth, to our suite. And eventually Sarge came up and, you know, said, oh, I'm sorry, my phone was charging and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Jesus. Did you slam the door in his face?
Well, I mean, he's getting all those Venmo payments. It's probably burning through his battery.
All right.
That's true.
I'm obsessed with the Venmo thing. So do you know how it worked?
Oh, I have no idea.
Do you
idea.
Know how this... Okay. Did you know how the system worked? Does anybody know how? Okay, because obviously some of the people listening.
I want to talk to someone who paid the money.
Well, I want to just find out what it was. Like, did you tweet them and say, "Hey, I'm in section whatever. If you come here and take a picture with me, I will Venmo this cash." But Sarge says he made upwards of $200 last night. Is that right?
Yeah, and I will say he mentioned to me off the air yesterday. He's making it's a sizable donation, or he's going to make a donation with the money. He's not like pocketing it, as far as I know.
It's all for charity?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then that's I find it funny that people do that. I like that he's doing it for charity. That's all right. But the fact that someone would pay, I don't even know how much they were charging. You said $200. So was it $20 a pop? Or do you know? It was Bird. Get on the mic. How much are they charging?
I believe it was $20 a pop, and people were either tweeting him or texting him, or I don't know how.
So 10 different people.
Yeah.
Before, was it done before the actual event?
I have no idea.
So you're telling me 10 different people tweeted him and said, come see me and take a picture with me, and I'll give you $20.
Because when he came to the suite around like maybe 9:30 to calm down Nick, you basically said, I made about $200.
Okay, that did not happen.
Did the people who pay up know it was for charity? Did the people who paid the $20 know it was for charity when they did it?
I don't know. If anybody has any information on this, 617-779-0985. I find the whole thing fascinating. I find the fact that Nick Jamelli is a persona non grata with the Kowloon crew.
Yeah, yikes.
I don't know what he did.
Maybe they were worried he was going to record things.
No, well, I mean, he always tells them.
I know. I agree.
And also,
no reason to shut
by the
him
way,
out.
Nick knows I did not tell him to go and interview them. I was like, that was not part of the deal. I said, I want you to go interview fans.
He just went to hang out.
However, if they did go and talk to somebody who paid like the $20, I did want him to talk to them and say, why would you pay this money to get a picture with Sarge? Like, this is interesting.
So I was just, you're right. I'm combing through their timelines. I'm combing through their podcast timeline. I don't see any like exchanges there.
Yeah, like I didn't see any kind of ad or ad. Like, how did people know? Like that, you could have Sarge come to yours. Dan just said in my headphones, they just knew. when you're down with the Kowloon crew, yeah. And you know, there's secrets that all of us aren't privy to, including Nick. Nick was going to break the code if he got into the Kowloon box. All right, well, if you happen to know, 617-779-0985. On top of that, it was flipping between that disappointment of a show because there was no Rob Gronkowski and the Bruins. Which was also a disappointment, but my God, that would be a phenomenal series if those two meet together in the postseason. We will get to that, and also the latest on Rob Gronkowski right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the sports hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
.985 Sports Hub, it's Toucher and Rich, and the Bruins, they led by two going into the third period, but then the Tampa Bay Lightning reminded them why they are indeed the best team in the league.
Over the line, high slot, and out of the right circle, here's Killorn. McAvoy's about to hop out, under a minute to play in regulation. Bruins back at full strength, sent left to the net, fired, they score in the slot. Anthony Cirelli teed up for a perfect one-timer, and he hammers it by Rask. 5-4 Lightning.
Well, the Lightning, they score three goals in the third period to break the backs of the Boston Bruins. 5-4 the final score. Wasn't it the last time the Lightning beat the Bruins? Same thing, third period collapse?
1-1 in the third, and then Tampa scored twice in like the first 3 or 4 minutes of the third period. But either way, the Bruins got taken apart in each third period in that building. But played them good for two periods.
Yeah, they did. Well, in a battle of not only the two best teams in the East, you also had two of the best lines in hockey going head-to-head, and the Bees' first line, particularly Brad Marchand, He brought his A game yesterday.
Pasternak centers, and Marchand's drive. Got block coming in. Rebound, they score! That was swatted home. Marchand got it. The Bruins able to bat it aside along the near wall. They take a 4-2 lead over the Lightning.
My God, he has been excellent. Two goals, two takeaways for Brad Marchand. He's, okay, so how many points is he at?
He's
right
going to get 100.
He's at 94.
He's going to get 100 points.
And that would be the first time in his career that he has done so,
yes.
Correct?
Yep.
I mean, you look at career years. There's several players on this team. Bergeron might end up having a career year as well.
All three guys have 30 goals or more.
I mean, it's
that's insane.
It's absolutely gratuitous. But it was, unfortunately, a guy on the other side of the puck who put up the stat line of the night, despite how good Marchand was.
Lightning win the draw. Stamkos led into the slot. Up top, now sent to the far side. They score a rocket top shelf from the captain, Steven Stamkos. And the Lightning back in front, 2-1.
Steven Stamkos, man. A player that even Bruins fans find impossible to hate. He went off.
That dude, he's been around forever. You know how
he's
old,
like,
he is?
Yeah, I heard you say. I think
how old is he, Jones, without looking? How old is Stamkos?
32.
No.
He's 29.
Yeah.
Wow. He's been around forever. He's got almost 400 goals. He's only 29.
I mean, he.
And he's like their third best player.
Yes.
You know, like he went from like the franchise to like, I mean, Kucherov is amazing and breaking point. Like,
Kucherov's the MVP. Point has 40 goals. Vasilevsky's not that far behind either. Yeah. That guy's a Vezina Trophy finalist.
Hedman's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they use the term wagon. That's exactly what I think of. I mean, that team's just unbelievable. Well, Stamkos finished with 2 goals, 4 points, a +3 rating, 5 shots on net, 8 shot attempts, and a partridge in a pear tree. I mean, he was unbelievable. Dude is going to be a pain in the ass in the playoffs. He still remains my favorite non-Bruin. And he has been ever since he took that puck to the face back in Game 7 against Lightning in 2011.
Yep.
So I just remember, so I was in the Sports Hub box at the time, and so he gets nailed in the face, and blood's everywhere, just gets rushed off the ice. And like minutes later, I'm looking out on the ice, and I'm saying, hang on, that Stamkos is there's no way he's back on the ice. And sure enough, dude was out there, and you know they ended up losing, but apparently there were pictures after that game of Stamkos all bandaged up, like drinking with Bruins fans on Causeway.
Really?
Yeah, because that was the end of their season. The season ended after that game, and apparently there were photos of him out there, which once again, I mean, I'm immediately a fan. However, the Lightning bounced back. It had just as much to do with the Bruins' brain lapse on defense last night. I mean, Charlie McAvoy, I believe he was on the ice for all 3 goals in the third period.
Yes.
He made a pretty poor decision on that Stamkos breakaway, the one that we played right there. Actually, it wasn't that one. It was the Stamkos breakaway that he got to Hedman, who ended up scoring. That was just a complete lapse in judgment. And, yes, John.
No, keep going. I was going to follow it up when you were done.
Well, but that was just the beginning of his lapses. And even Bruce Cassidy afterwards was talking about how that goal right there was the one that kind of got the ball rolling for the Lightning.
All the more reason to not make poor decisions, right? I mean, if you're limited in numbers, you, especially with a 2-goal lead against the best team in the league, so it's almost inexplicable a little bit. But you know, those are mistakes that are made. You learn every day in this game, and we learned a lesson tonight, and hopefully we're better off for it.
Yeah, Bergeron as well seemed to share the same sentiments.
It was a 4-2 game for us, so you know, I thought we did a good job of. I mean, obviously, they're, you know, he's a good goalie. He's going to make some great saves. There's a few I'm sure would like to get back and have a second chance at it. But really, the bottom line, I thought tonight was our play away from the puck and in our zone, and it cost us.
Okay, you didn't have Krug and you didn't have Grizzlick for this game. And you didn't have Kevin Miller. Who knows if you'll ever get Kevin Miller. You're never really sure. Mm-hmm. But they're banged up. They're missing their two best puck-moving defensemen, which would enable them to stay with Tampa in that sprint up and down the ice. They've been good for 2 periods in Amalie Arena, both times they've played there. Tampa Bay could tie the NHL record for best record in a season. I mean, we looked this up, Jones and I, yesterday. The record is 132 points by one of the great Canadian teams in the mid-70s. If they win out, if Tampa Bay wins out, they'll finish with 132. Can the Bruins stay with this team in a 7-game? I'd like to see a 7-game series between these two teams. These are the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. It's a shame that they have to meet the second round instead of the Eastern Conference Finals. But the question is, if fully healthy, do the Bruins have a shot against this team.
Well, absolutely. And I think that they've shown that. Now, I know that that game, the previous
because
one,
it was no contest at the Garden
no.
when they played. The Bruins ran them over.
And how many times did we hear that it was a back-to-back and it was like the third game in four nights for the Lightning? I mean, they were using every excuse when
Tampa
that happened.
Tampa Bay is 20-3 in their last 23 games, including last night. One of the losses is to the Bruins.
21 points up on the Bruins.
I know
who
that.
Who, as of yesterday, were the second-best team in the NHL.
But head-to-head, they've held their own.
They're Bruins 2-1. They're 1-2, and they theoretically could be at least 2-1, if not 3-0.
Sure.
We don't know how that game would have happened.
Right, and last year was a 5-game series, you know. So, I mean, the Lightning are amazing, and, you know, the Bruins have been really, really good. I've been saying this for a while. Their path is what stinks. Like, the Celtics don't deserve the path they're about to get.
Sure.
The Celtics have such a fortunate, clear, open path. And, you know, the Bruins, and this is not a commentary on you know, the postseason being unfair or anything. You have to play the format. I don't mind the system in the NHL. But Toronto still, I don't think, is a walkover. I know Toronto has not been playing well. I still don't think they're a walkover. And as competitive as the Bruins have been in a couple of those games, they still haven't won in Tampa. And one of those games is against a backup goalie. Last night's the first time they faced Vasilevsky, who was not great in that game. I think it all turned. I mean, you guys were illustrating the play of McAvoy. It all turned when Carlo had a wide open net, put it wide, break away the other way, and now instead of 5-2, it's a 4-3 game, and the crowd's into it. So you have to take advantage of your chances when you have them, and Carlo didn't bury that chance last night. McAvoy was bad, and the Bruins fell apart. So, I mean, do they have a chance? Yeah, I guess they have a chance, sure. But would you pick them against Tampa?
No way.
Would you pick them against Tampa?
Anybody
no
one would. Against okay. Tampa.
I don't know what we're talking about.
But can they hang with them in a series?
Sure.
And the answer to that is yes. And we've seen evidence that supports that. And you know how it is in the NHL. I mean, these playoffs, things can change. And obviously the injuries
you
are
get
extremely
a hot goaltender,
important as well.
Right. Whatever the case may be. And by the way, the guy you were talking about, the backup goaltender that they beat, that guy Domingue had won his 10 previous
I'm talking about the first game in Tampa was also Domingue.
Yeah. I understand that, but Domingue was a red hot goaltender when they played him. I mean, it's still a good win.
That's not who they're going to get in the playoffs, is my only point.
I get it.
The Vezina winner is the guy they're going to get in the playoffs. And again, Vasilevsky was not good last night. But that's the first time they faced him this season. I don't know if they'll get him in the finale or the Bruins.
Toss that last
finale.
One that game away. Doesn't matter. That game's not going to matter.
Yeah.
These first three did matter, and the Bruins were competitive in all three games.
I do want to see the Bruins finish strong this year, because last year something similar happened. I think they lost 4-0 to Tampa late. It was not as close as this game. They lost to Tampa like 4-0 late last season. They dropped 4 out of their final 5. And that kind of put them in a little bit of a tailspin down the stretch. So I do want to see them finish strong. If we're going to throw out the last couple of games, I understand that. You got to rest guys. Chara needs a break. But, you know, this next stretch leading up to that, while they're getting guys back, I'd like to see them, you know, not let this put them into a tailspin like last year.
All I know is that these Lightning games have been fun as hell to watch.
And, oh, for sure.
And as I was saying, I mean, if these two teams end up playing in the postseason, it's going to be ridiculously entertaining. As you were mentioning, John, only 6 games left in the regular season. That one against Lightning, just throw it away, because that's not going to matter. However, tomorrow night, the Bruins take on the Rangers at home. Puck drops right here in 98.5 Sports Hub. And as a reminder, Jake DeBrusque joining us today at 9:20, which of course means tomorrow he's getting a hat trick. It's just how it works when you get the TNR bump. I just heard my headphones. He may not be on. Depends on what time they get it.
Very late text that I got saying it's unlikely.
It's unlikely. Okay.
Very, very unlikely.
They flew back after the game, so late bedtime, I would imagine.
They must not want to win. That's on them. That's a good point.
You're right. You want to just kind of coast into the postseason?
Maybe it's you, Jones. We don't have any trouble when Fred's here.
That's a fair point. Maybe I don't blame him so much. That's a good point.
All right, so we'll get into all this Rob Gronkowski news. There's now a lot of talk and information being released about how they indeed planned on announcing his retirement, and it just got more ridiculous as it went. I don't think he could have done it really in any better of a way. However, his stupid agent keeps talking, so we will get into that and so much more right after John Walk's headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston.com.
Boston's home for sports on your phone. Sox, Celts, Bruins, and Pats news. Podcast. And listen live from anywhere.
Something is the key to all of this.
98.5 The Sports Hub. That's an app.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. And to all of you who have been tweeting me, asking me what I thought of The Dirt, the new Netflix movie about Motley Crue, I have not watched it yet. I've not had a chance to. I was gone all weekend, and I've been dying to see it. I mean, it's...
Oh, I watched it on Saturday.
Oh, you did? What'd you think?
I did. You know, I... backstory. I think I've told you this. You guys were talking about the book years ago on the air.
It's my favorite book I've ever read.
So I couldn't remember which of you said that, either you or Fred. But one of you said that, and I'm guessing now, based on what you said, it was you. Mm-hmm. And based on that recommendation, I'm like, well, I'm going to go buy this. I'm going to read this. What the hell? Or yeah. Order it on Amazon or whatever. So I read this years ago, 5-6 years ago, whatever. And yeah, so I watched it this weekend. And I would say it would be like... did you watch the OJ series? Like, did you watch that?
Ron is dead.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So you know, if you can overlook some poor acting and like rushed storylines, I thought it was pretty entertaining.
Okay. Because the one thing about The Dirt, as I said, I mean, the reason it's so astounding is that it's an oral history, and each member of the band is saying the most ridiculously awful things about everybody else that's associated with the band, and. It's almost as if none of them knew what the other ones were saying until the book was put out. You're like, oh my God. And like, you know, Nikki Sixx at one point dies in the movie of a heroin overdose. It's announced that he's dead. Like, the radio announces he's dead. All of the people in the band are over at Nikki Sixx's house in the morning, and Nikki Sixx wakes up in the hospital, rips all the little things off of the electrodes, and shows up, and the other, I don't think he's dead. He comes walking. It's like, why are you guys crying? And Vince Neil kills a guy and gets away with it.
Yep. He spends 2 days in jail.
It spends like 2 days in jail, and the whole, like, the rest of it, he feels he's having guilt. And Mick Mars is dying because he's old and he's got a degenerative bone disease. And then there's the part that I heard they left out of the movie that was one of the more fascinating ones, and that was the whole Pam and Tommy Lee situation.
Yeah, not at all. They had Heather Locklear. They did not have Pam Anderson.
Well, you could. I mean, you obviously couldn't fit that all in there. But I also heard the other thing about this movie is that when you watch it now, especially in like today's environment with, you know, all the, you know, sexual harassment, all this stuff, it really stands out as being, whoa, this, I can't believe this happened. But I mean, if you now, and now in all interviews, they're all like, listen, that's who we were. It's not who we are. Because I mean, they look like awful human beings when you watch now. And that's just the way, that was the 80s metal era. And they were the kings of it. And they thought they were the biggest and baddest until Ozzy showed up and basically taught them that, no, you guys are just
rookies.
You're rookies in all this. Yeah. I'm Ozzy effing Osbourne. Like, that to me was one of my favorite parts of the book. Was that Motley Crue thinks that they're the biggest badasses, and so they go on tour for the first time with Ozzy, and the first time they meet Ozzy, Ozzy walks off of his tour bus and just looks at him, looks down at the sidewalk and sees a popsicle stick that's got a line of ants on it, picks it up and goes and snorts it right in front of him, and they just go, all right, dude, we are way out of our league. This is the guy. So I'm going to watch it. I was in the middle of a texting chain between about six of my friends. It's about 40 texts deep. All giving each other reviews of it, but I've heard it's pretty good.
So what I thought was strange, and again, I'm no aficionado on this, but was the biggest actor, like out of the four of them, was the biggest actor the guy who played Mick Mars? Isn't he from like Game of Thrones? Like, is he the biggest name?
I don't know. I know that the guy from Saturday Night Live's in it. Oh, Machine Gun Kelly.
Machine Gun Kelly was Tommy Lee.
Okay.
Pete Davidson was like their, I don't know, like their A&R guy. I don't quite remember the names, but yeah, Pete Davidson was like the guy who like discovered them.
Okay.
So I don't know if A&R is the right term.
Yeah, but I don't think that it's really any big names. I know that Jeff Tremaine, the guy who was behind Jackass, is the guy who directed it.
Yeah.
So I don't really, I don't know. Once again, I haven't seen it.
I thought there was a guy from Game of Thrones who played Mick Mars. Other than that, yeah, there were not a lot of recognizable names.
Okay. So is Mick Mars just like dying the whole movie?
Yeah, he was definitely the most entertaining, I would say.
I saw them about 6 or 7 years ago, and they were doing a residency in Vegas, and they were playing the Dr. Feelgood album all the way through from front to back. And Mick Mars gets out on stage, and it's the weirdest thing. Mick Mars literally stands still like a statue except for his arms. They just, it looks like they're attached to like swivels, and nothing moves except his arms go, and to play the guitar, he doesn't move left, right. He doesn't move forward. Doesn't move backward.
How's his face? Like facial expressions really, or no?
No.
He's pretty stoic.
A statue. Like he can't move. I mean, he's dying. His bones are, I think they're like all fusing up on him.
Yeah.
And somehow he's been able to manipulate to where his just arms work. And it honestly looks like if you took a cardboard cutout and put two holes in it and stuck somebody's arms through it and use that as arms. Or that game where someone puts their arms behind their back. That's what Mick Mars looks like on stage. And it's really uncomfortable to watch. And there's a part in that book, too, where they talk about how when they all met Mick Mars after these years, like 20 years, they didn't talk to the guy. And finally, like, no one really kept in touch. It wasn't 20 years, it was about 10 years. And they didn't realize that the condition had been getting worse. And when he finally showed up to their reunion practice, like, they all started crying.
Like,
they're like, I can't believe he's in this bad a shape. And then they just said, all right, let's go make some money. And they went back on the road and work for your soup. You know, get out there, Mick. Fight through the pain. Well, either way, I'll end up watching it, and I'll give him a review once I get it. So last night, many of us who normally don't watch the WWE, they sat through a bunch of guys named Ricochet and Aleister Black in order to see if indeed Rob Gronkowski would make an appearance announcing his contract with the Wrestling Corporation. He never showed, but a guy named Lilo Rush still had the chance to give Gronk the what for from the stage.
See, Finn, you should have just quit while you were ahead. You really should have. Now you are going to be forced to leave the game as a beaten, broken, hot piece of garbage like Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, Leo, you cad.
I want to kill that guy.
Well, less than 24 hours after Gronk announced his retirement, his karate chopping agent, Drew Rosenhaus, everyone thought, yes, you indeed can karate chop a board.
Does that hand still
work?
And
your gi like a 12-year-old. Well, he threw a huge wrench into things by saying, hey, you know what? Rob Gronkowski, he might actually not be retiring here.
Listen, I'm just speculating. This is nothing that Rob and I talked about specifically. I don't want to get anybody's hopes up. Rob Gronkowski is retired, and it's unlikely that he will ever play football again. However, I did close my conversation with Rob yesterday when he called to tell me that he was going to retire. And I said, Rob, just keep in mind, if you ever have a change of heart, you can come back and play. I'm sure the Patriots would welcome you with open arms. If it's sometime during the season, if it's late in the year, if you feel good and you want to come back and play, we will make it happen. That's all. I was just a suggestion. I couldn't let go without leaving that in Rob's ear. Rob is a very unique personality. If the team was struggling or they needed him at some point next year, and let's just say, hypothetically, Tom Brady gave him a call and said, Rob, I need you. I wouldn't be shocked if he came back to play a few games.
I mean, see, now I feel awful for Rob Gronkowski because every indication is that he's out. Like, he doesn't want to play. He's done. His decision was made before the Super Bowl, apparently. And now there's old videos coming up of him during Super Bowl week where he essentially was telling the world, I'm done, in so many words. And then there was even, like, Mike Garofalo tweeted this out. Rosenhaus was on the NFL Network, and he said that apparently Gronk was presented with a plan to talk to the team about sitting out the spring and even into training camp. And he said they believe they would have worked out a plan with the Patriots if Gronk was interested. Gronk wasn't. Gronk said, no, I'm out. I'm done. I'm happy. I don't want to do this anymore. And now what Drew Rosenhaus has done is he hasn't given Rob Gronkowski that one bit of peace where people will stop asking him,
well,
are you retired? Because now everywhere he goes, you coming back? You coming back? You coming back? If I'm Rob Gronkowski,
I think that would have happened anyway, though. To be honest with you,
no.
The man's 29 years old.
But this
I think
doesn't
have happened anyway. Look,
I mean, we still get phone calls about Calvin Johnson who retired young, so that's a fair point. Like, maybe Gronk would have got this no matter
David
what, but Rosenhaus doesn't help.
No. His own agent.
David Ortiz could barely walk at the end, as we found out later, and he got questions for how long?
Oh, but baseball and football is different.
Kind of athlete, people still think there's more juice left.
I got a call with Big Jim last week for Calvin Johnson, and he's been retired like 5 years. So that might still happen with Gronk. I will say we were wondering about if Gronk had a number that he'd play for, right? Yesterday we were talking about, well, did did they ask him to take a pay cut and he said no? Did he want more and they said no? Because I believe Gronk would have played. For the right number, Gronk would have played, I think. The more I thought about Rosenhaus and why Rosenhaus is doing this, because you're right, as a player, you'd never want your representation out there doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this is a subtle little way to let people know, like, hey, like Gronk would play. Gronk would play. He could still play. But you gotta pay him what he's worth. Like I kind of wonder if that's a little bit of what Rosenhaus is doing.
All right, so we got some more info on how this all went down. Also, he's not the only superstar who is quote unquote retiring. We have some news on that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Click on events.
Hi, how are you, honey? Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed. You can eat a lot at one sitting.
95, the Sports Hub.
See, Finn, you should have just quit while you were ahead. You really should have. Now you are going to be forced to leave the game as a beaten, broken, hot piece of garbage like Rob Gronkowski.
I was from WWE Raw last night. I sat through almost the entire thing, flipping back and forth from the Bruins game, waiting to see whether or not he would have made his appearance, and nope, no sign of Rob. I don't even think, was Elias there yesterday? Because they just kept showing like pre-recorded things. Elias, we had in studio, was he even at the arena yesterday?
After the camera shut off, he came out and did a segment with one of the wrestlers, got his butt kicked and left.
Oh, so that wasn't on TV? They just
It was after Raw.
He's like one of their biggest stars. Why would they do that?
I don't know.
Okay, all right. It's very, very weird. Last night was strange. As I said, I mean, there's like an hour's worth of action in a three-hour show.
And maybe he wasn't well-rested because he spent all his time in the chair over there yesterday.
That was
something. The whole thing was weird.
Maybe he said, guys, I can't wrestle tonight.
I don't know what went down yesterday, but there was some weirdness and hurt feelings.
There was a closed-door meeting.
So
between the two sides.
So Elias came in studio. Elias was great. And he was here with the WWE and people from the TD Garden. But after our interview, which was done at like 8:45,
yep,
he sat in this little seating area that we can see right outside of our window of the studio. And I realized like around like 9:15, I'm like, Elias is still here. And we
assume he was waiting for one of the other morning shows or stations or whatever.
I thought he was going to be, go to another station or whatever. And then Zolak told me he was waiting for Jay Stu to come and do his wrestling podcast. I'm like, all right. And so Jay Stu finally shows up a little before 10 o'clock. So Elias has been waiting there for like an hour and 15 minutes. And if I'm him, I'm kind of like, what are we doing? So Jay Stu shows up, but apparently the other half of the podcast, being Mike Sarge Riley, he had left and forgotten that they were going to record something with Elias.
He was physically here talking with Elias.
Well, getting pictures and autographs.
Yeah, but I mean, you know you're supposed to interview this guy. You're part of the wrestling podcast. You're standing right in front of the man and you forget? Yeah.
Well, the autograph's the important thing, not the interview.
That's unbelievable.
Or maybe he was not told that he was going to be part of the interview.
So Sarge was in the car. Sarge is in the car driving away,
punching his steering wheel, trying to get back for the interview. He missed the interview.
And Jimmy did the interview 8 or 10 minutes in the studio right next to us. We could see it happen the whole time.
Yep. Did it by himself.
And then Elias went one way, and Jimmy went another way. And then Sarge, at about, 20 after 10, came back in. And Jimmy was hanging out in the office with us, Jones, after the show. And Jimmy stands up while Sarge came in, a quick glance at Jimmy, who had his back to him, and then he kind of went to the other side.
You, Jay Stu.
No, he didn't even say
you
anything.
You rat.
He kind of scuttled to the other side of Sarge. The room. And then Jimmy Stewart turns around, looks at Sarge, stands up, and just kind of goes, kind of waves him over and says, let's talk over here. And the two of them disappeared into another room for about 10 minutes. and I don't know what happened.
There's trouble in wrestling paradise. I do know that. I would like to hear the podcast, though, to hear if there's any kind of like weird tension there.
Yeah.
And he's sniping.
It's a good call.
So, you know, it's like an old married couple.
Yeah.
But we will explore a little bit of that later on, because apparently Nick is very upset at certain members of the Kowloon crew. I'm like really pissed. Like not joking pissed. He's legitimately pissed off.
He was hot about it.
When I got a text from him last night, I didn't read into what he actually meant, but now that I'm having a usual suspects moment. Now that I know what happened, I'm looking back like, oh dude was pissed.
Now I see.
Nick doesn't get angry often either.
So Elias
he can't.
Is upset.
His heart will explode.
Elias is upset. The Inside the Ropes wrestling podcast is there's splintering there. Now we have Nick upset.
By the way, the whole Joe Murray separate suite thing still puzzles me.
Yep, that too.
That's
yep.
really, really weird. I thought he was part of the whole thing, but how does he afford his own suite for that event? And B, why was he forced to go to another suite?
Isn't that how most like rival crime families are born? They just splinter off from the one that brought him up.
Isn't that wrestling? Wasn't there a big split?
He's part of the NWO now.
There you go. See?
Yes, black or red.
I generally knew there was a split. I didn't know all the specifics. Yes, he's part of the NWO. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Bird. So you said that, okay, so Joe Murray had his own suite last night. Who were members of his entourage? Anybody we would know?
No. Nobody.
You, though, right?
Yeah, just me.
Oh!
Sides have been declared.
Interesting.
There has been a splinter amongst the Kowloon crew here at 98.5 The Sports Center.
Does that mean Joe's
better
not
find
gonna
a new
be...
place for a poo-poo platter there, Bert.
I know. I'm just going to say he's not going to be invited to the next get-together.
Yep. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah, he's going to Prince of Pizza. It's it's rival Saugus gangs. You know, now that Frank Jafridas is gone... now that the hilltop and Whaley's is gone, those gangs have been eradicated. But there's a new one that's up on the rise. It's Joe Murray and the Prince Pizza. You better best watch out. That's right. He's gonna have to go to Kane's Donuts if there ends up being any kind of more mischief.
Yep.
The Carl's Sausage Kitchen crew, they got blown out.
they're wearing cement shoes somewhere.
They couldn't quite last.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget about the Skechers kids. The Skechers Warehouse kids. I've heard they've got some ruffians there. Oh my God. This is the best. I gotta talk to Joe Murray about this. I need him on the phone this morning. This morning we need to get him on. We'll find out about the splintering of the Kowloon crew. All right. Well, this is kind of a weird angle that I didn't even think about yesterday, but it makes complete and total sense. There was speculation that the timing of Rob Gronkowski's retirement announcement might have been a solid towards the Patriots organization, in that this is the week of the owners' meetings out in Phoenix. And Burt Breer was even writing about this, as well as Tommy Curran, that, you know, what was going to hijack all of the news that was going to come out of it was that this was the first time Robert Kraft was going to be anywhere near microphones since the incident down in Florida. And so everyone thought, that's the big news story. This is it. And then all of a sudden, here comes Rob Gronkowski announcing his retirement, and boom, that takes over all of the news. Matter of fact, we talked to Burt Breer yesterday, and he said, I was trying to speak to people about what they believe the punishment for Robert Kraft was going to be. We're trying to speak to Robert Kraft. And all of a sudden, once Gronk announces retirement, the whole game changes.
Everybody was sidetracked.
Yep. The stories are, you know, the ones that go to print, everything is different. And Stacey James was actually asked by Tommy Curran about whether or not this was coordinated. Stacey James, who was the PR person for the Patriots. And he said, of course, no. But then they went into details on how this all went down. We have all that information. Also, the way that Rob Gronkowski originally had planned on announcing his retirement, it's as Rob Gronkowski as it gets. We will get to that. No commercials, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.